Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our outdoor worship service. As we begin, let's sing, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Before our opening prayer, we'll sing Jesus Hold My Hand. We'll sing the first and third verses.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. is no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
All right, bow with me in prayer, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this another beautiful day that you have blessed us with. We're so thankful for this time this evening to come out here and study your word with all the saints here at Central. And we just hope that our worship tonight is pleasing in your sight. We're so thankful for our families. We're thankful for our spiritual families. And we're thankful for this country that allows us such a privilege. Heavenly Father, but most of all, we're thankful for Jesus and his willingness to come down here and die on the cross for our sins so that we can be seen as blameless and as holy and as justified. Heavenly Father, we ask a special blessing on Tim tonight as he brings us our lesson. Help him to have a good remembrance of what he's prepared, and help us as listeners to take what is said and apply it to our lives and not just keep it to ourselves, but spread it to our neighbors. Heavenly Father, we pray a special blessing also on all those on the prayer list that are sick, all those that have lost loved ones or going through difficult times. Pray for those who are sick spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And bless them and bless all the hands that are ministering to their needs. A special blessing also for our elders here. We ask that they keep leading us in a way that's in accordance with your will. And help us as the sheep to be good followers. Heavenly Father, be with Central Church of Christ. Help it to continue to grow both in faith and in number, if it be your will. All things be done in your will and not ours. Again, be with us on through this service and on through future life. In Christ's name, amen.
Before our scripture reading and lesson, let's sing He's My King. We'll sing all three verses.
All day long of Jesus I am singing. He, my song of joy, will ever be. All the while He keeps my heart bells ringing. For His love is everything to me. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long in raptured praise I sing. He's my Savior, He's my King. Streams of love around my soul are flowing. From His heart, love's everlasting spring. That is why my faith in Him I'm showing. That is why an endless song I sing. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day raptured praise I see. He's my Savior, he's my King. In his light I'm going home to glory, with the souls who trust his saving grace. Going home to sing and tell his story, in the blessed sunshine of his face. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my King, no other is above him. All day long, in raptured praise I sing. He's my Savior, he's my King.
There will not be a children's Bible story tonight. For our scripture reading, I'll be reading Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. Again, that's Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God.
Good evening. Hello. Good evening. Yeah, you can't sit there and doze. I'll take care of that. So good to see this good number out. Don't know how many, but I'll make my estimate about 400 or so. Well, maybe not that, but it's just good to see you here. It's been about 6 months, I guess, since we were able to do an outdoor service. And it's good. I like this. And I hope you enjoy it as well. It's nice to see the beautiful dogwood blossoms still out and hear the birds singing in the background and feel the cool April breezes, right? Or maybe it's July breezes we're feeling tonight. But we're so glad that you are here with us. And for those of you that are joining us online, we're glad that you're with us as well. Thanks to Clayton and Mike for, again, working out the logistics for doing this. Mike McConnell also helped out a good bit, and we just appreciate them going the extra mile so we can do this. Can everybody in the back in the cars hear okay? Wave at me if you can hear it all right. And if you're not waving, I don't know if that means you're not responding to me or can't hear, but I think we're doing okay in terms of volume. We need to adjust it. All right, I'll assume that we're fine on that, but we're really glad that you're here with us tonight. Get your Bible out. We're going to be studying in Psalm 78, and almost everything will be in Psalm 78 this evening. So let's look together into God's Word. I found a website called neverforget.org. Neverforget.org. And it is a website for the memorial to the 9/11 victims in New York City. And on this website, they state this for the museum, the purpose of the memorial and the museum. The 9/11 Memorial and Museum preserves the history of that tragic day 20 years ago, and this was a year or so ago. So the millions born since 9/11 will never forget how we responded. And then in bold print on that front page of the website is this phrase, "When two towers fell, we rose as one." And I like that. And there was a time, soon after the events of September 11th, 2001, when our nation came together in a way that it rarely does. And of course, they're talking about the first responders and those who put their lives in danger. But what a great time it was to see people coming together in a time of crisis. And that is something worth remember. So neverforget.org, in case you'd like to look at that sometime after this lesson. Psalm 78 could also be given the title, Never Forget. That is a prominent theme of this psalm. It recalls events in Israel's history. It talks about how some have forgotten and some of the disastrous consequences that followed their forgetting. And so tonight, as we close out this series of lessons on instructive psalms, we're going to turn our attention to Psalm 78. Now, don't be too concerned. We're not going to look at every verse in that psalm, all 72 verses. We'll just kind of catch some of the highlights of it. But I think you'll agree there are some things here that are still very necessary for us, because we as God's people must remember. We must never forget some of the things that God has shown us in His Word. So let's begin by talking about remembering the works of God. Remember the works of God. Remember is a positive way of saying don't forget. And I, when I think about it, I choose to say it that way. I think it's better to be positive, but to say don't forget is also a valid way of expressing the idea. And so it says there are things we need to remember. They will help guide us in the future. And that's exactly what we find in Psalm 78. So let's look at some of what God has done that we should remember according to this psalm. Look with me at verse 4. Because very early in this psalm, it tells us the purpose of this psalm. It says, "We will not hide them," that is all the things that God has done, "we will not hide them from their children," the children of our fathers, "but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done." And so there is a determination that the things that God has done that we have been taught ourselves, we're going to pass on. We're going to make sure that those in future generations also know about them. And that is certainly a very wonderful resolution to make. In verse 7, we find what I think is the thesis of this entire psalm. Listen to it again. Psalm 78 and verse 7. "So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." And there's three statements there that I think really form the nucleus of this psalm. And notice again, set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And that's not necessarily in the order that I think is most natural, but I think it begins with remembering what God has done. Because when we remember what God has done, we learn to set our hope in Him. We turn to Him because we know He is well able to do what we want Him to do or what He has promised to do. And then we will keep His commandments because of that strong hope. Now, what are some of those works that we are to remember? And he's writing especially to the people of his time. Asaph, by the way, is the author of this psalm, we're told. But look with me at verses 11 through 16 of Psalm 78. And here are some of the great things from the earliest days of Israel as a nation. He says in verse 11, "They forgot His works and the wonders that He had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, He performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan." And Zoan was an area where Israel had dwelt while they lived in Egypt. "He divided the sea and let them pass through it.
He made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and at night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. And those things ring true with us. I mean, we've heard these things all of our lives if we've been brought up in Bible classes. We've heard about how God parted the Red Sea so Israel could escape Egypt and become a nation. We saw how that God guided them through the wilderness with that column of smoke by day and a column of fire at night. We've read about how he split the rock and brought water out abundantly. And those are the kinds of things, Asaph says, we must never forget. Why not? Because it tells us that God can do it. God can do what he has promised. And God is with his people. And so we must never forget those things that God has done. But then if you drop down to verses 42 through 49, there's also maybe a more negative approach to this same idea. And he's talking here about how God did bad things, you might say. He punished the Egyptians who were so resistant to his will, Pharaoh particularly. He says, beginning in verse 42, when they did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe, and the foe in this case was Egypt, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the fields of Zoan, he turned their rivers to blood so that they could not drink of their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. He gave their crops to the destroying locust and the fruit of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamores with frost. He gave over their cattle to the hail and their flocks to thunderbolts. He let loose on them his burning anger, wrath, indignation, and distress, a company of destroying angels. And what Asaph is saying there is, God let loose his power on those who would not heed his voice to let my people go. And even though Egypt thought, well, we've got all of these gods that are in control of everything, yet God said, let me show you who is in control. And for every god they had, God countered with his own power and put their gods, so-called gods, to shame. And so Asaph is saying, we need to remember these things. These things are so important for us to remember, and especially going back to what we saw early in this psalm, teach your children. Teach your children these things, and that's a very important part of this psalm, is so that they will never forget. In fact, isn't that what Moses had told the people on behalf of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9? We'll not read that right now, but you remember how Moses told the people, these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them to your children when you're lying down, when you're rising up, when you're walking by the way, when you're sitting down. In other words, do not fail to teach your children the works of God. And so that's what he's saying here in the first part, or the first section of thoughts that we have of Psalm 78. But now let me also point out in this psalm, there is this thought, and that is when God's people don't remember his works. When God's people don't remember his works. I found an article on a website called lexingtoninstitute.org. It was published April 2, 2011, and they were talking about a poll that Newsweek magazine had done asking Americans about their knowledge of American history. The title of the article was, Americans Are Dangerously Ignorant of History. Get that, they are dangerously ignorant of history. And some facts to back up that title. Only 30% knew that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. 43% did not know that the first 10 amendments constitute the Bill of Rights. And two-thirds could not identify America's economic system as capitalistic or market-based. And most of us would say, well, I thought everybody knew that. And yet, obviously, they don't. Well, you could say the same about many people in Israel in ancient times. Things that ought to have been known by all of them were not. They had forgotten the works of God. What are the consequences of forgetting God's works? Well, again, let's go to Psalm 78. Look at verses 9 through 11. Verses 9 through 11. The Ephraimites, armed with a bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. Now, who are the Ephraimites? Well, sometimes Ephraim is synonymous with the northern kingdom of Israel in the Old Testament. I don't think that's what he means in this psalm. We could go later in the psalm, and we'll look at that in just a moment. And he's talking specifically about that tribe of Ephraim. So whether he's talking about a specific battle or just generally, the point is they should have gone out to battle at God's command, but they didn't. And why? They forgot his works. It may have been they said, well, this is hopeless. There's no way we could win this battle. But they had forgotten all of the times that God had fought their battles for them, had overcome much greater odds. And so, you see, it's indicative of the fact they had forgotten. In fact, turn now to verses 67 and 68 of Psalm 78. And again, we're going to look at Ephraim, the Ephraimites. And this shows part of the consequence of their turning away from battle, of not remembering the works of God. He says in verse 67, he rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim, though the younger son of Joseph, had been blessed by Jacob as superior, and yet God did not choose Ephraim. But he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. Now, why would God not choose the one that Jacob had blessed? Because part of it goes back to the earlier part of the psalm, and that is that Ephraim had forgotten the works of God and thus had not followed through with the plan of God. So there were consequences to not remembering what God had done. Now let's go to verses 17 through 22. Psalm 78, verses 17 through 22. And again, we're talking about what happens when people forget God's works. Here's what we read in verses 17 and following. Yet they sinned, talking about the congregation of Israel as a whole, generalizing. They sinned still more against God, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" And do you notice the sarcasm there? They're saying, in effect, he can't do this. How are we going to get any food to eat at all? Can God spread a table in the wilderness? He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power. And why didn't they believe in God? Why didn't they trust his ability to feed them something more than this loathsome manna that they were eating day after day? Because they had forgotten the powerful works of God. God had showed them time and again, I can do all things. And if it is my will to give you meat, I'll give you meat. And he goes on to talk about how he did give them the quail that flew into the camp of Israel in abundance, and they ate until meat was coming out of their nostrils. And yet God was angry because they doubted him. They didn't believe in him. They had forgotten his works. And then down in verses 35 through 37, again, a consequence of not believing in God. He had talked about how they had been brought under oppression by enemies, the Philistines and others. And notice what he says now in verses 35 and following. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. but they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Now, what's he talking about there? They would cry out to God for help. Lord, we are in bad trouble here. Please send a judge to deliver us. And yet they were not sincere. They really didn't believe God. And as soon as they were delivered, as we read in the book of Judges over and over and over again, they turned right back to the idols that they truly loved most. And so again, the consequences of not remembering the works of God, they may call for help, but they're not sincere. They're flattering God with their mouth. They're lying with their tongue. And they're not fooling God for one moment. Derek Kidner, in his comments on this psalm, says, "This psalm reviews the turbulent adolescence of Israel from its time of slavery in Egypt to the reign of David. It is meant to search the conscience. It is history that must not repeat itself." And remember, Asaph was writing it to Jews, people that were still under the covenant of God through Moses. And yet it has been preserved for us, and there are still lessons for us to learn. One other observation from this psalm, and that is the hope of a forgetful people. The hope of a forgetful people. Have you ever thought about how God would act if he acted like we act? I mean, people disappoint us, people turn against us, and what do? We say, well, forget you. I've given you a chance, I've given you two chances. Maybe I've given you three chances, but no more. That's all. Forget it. I'm out of here. What if God had done that to Israel? It would have affected us because Israel was the lineage through whom the Messiah was to come. And yet this psalm says God is not that way. God is the hope of a forgetful people. Look with me at verses 38 and 39. We've just looked at how the people would cry out to him and say, Lord, deliver us. And yet God knew they were flattering him. He knew that they were lying. But look at his response. Verse 38. Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. What an amazing God we serve. That's a good time to say amen. What an amazing God we serve. And he did not destroy them. He did not give them what they deserve. He was compassionate. He made atonement for their iniquity. And he remembered, these people, they're just flesh. I'll give them another chance. Craig Broyles, in his comments on this particular passage, we should note that in the Old Testament, God is rarely the subject of the verb atone. In most cases, a priest performs the atoning sacrificial rites, but here, God takes it upon himself. In addition, here it is God who remembers, in this case, human frailty. And while people were forgetting, God remembered, and that's our salvation. God remembers that we are flesh. God remembered and made atonement for his people. Then notice in verses 68 or 67 and 68 again, we looked at this a few moments ago. Listen again to what it says there. We noted the first part and emphasized that. He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. And that means that God did not completely give up on his people. Now, he completely gave up on the northern kingdom, it appears. I mean, there were individuals that could come out of the ruins of the northern kingdom and make their way back down to Judah and be considered faithful Jews. And no doubt, there were those people. But as a whole, that people, that nation was gone. It vanished from the face of the earth. But God chose Judah, and Judah remained. And now drop down to verses 70 through 72, and notice what else God did. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes he brought him, to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. So that's what God does for a rebellious and forgetful people. He tries to bring them in through giving them a shepherd. David, in this case, who would have guessed? Who would have guessed that David would rise to the position of king? He was just a shepherd boy. He was the youngest of all those sons of Jesse. Even the prophet Samuel could not believe, this is the one. And yet God saw in David the qualities that would bring his people back, that would restore them and help them along, and then ultimately the son of David. We're talking about Christ. The son of David would shepherd his people and bring us home. Even though we are a forgetful people, God has shown great mercy. Matthew Henry comments by saying this, with good reason does the psalmist make this finishing, crowning instance of God's favor to Israel, for David was a type of Christ, the great and good shepherd. And so, while God's people seem to continually struggle to remember the works of God and what they mean for the present and for the future, God doesn't forget his covenant. In God, we hope. In God is our only hope. I'll close by mentioning one other passage in the Old Testament, one that we know too well, one of the saddest statements in all of the Old Testament. It's Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, where the writer says, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And that opens the door to what you might call the dark ages of Israel. You'll not find a darker book in the Bible than the book of Judges. And why? Because there arose a generation that did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. How could that happen? Somebody didn't do their job. Somebody wasn't diligent in teaching their children. Can we let that happen today with our children? I mean, look around. I mean, really, look around right now. There's a lot of kids out here with us this evening and a lot of others that aren't here right now. What will they know as they grow older? Will there be enough teachers that will step forward and say, I will make sure this generation knows about God. God is so wonderful. God is so powerful. I will do my part. And with enough of those stepping forward, our children will know. They will not forget. And as a nation, what are we going to say? We've loved to sing the song in the past, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. But how much longer will that be if Americans keep forgetting the powerful works of God? We must be a light to this world. Do all that we can to show people the wonderful God we serve. Show them the light that is in Jesus Christ. Let's determine that we're going to do that. This psalm instructs us, just as it did in the days of Asaph. Let's read it again tonight before we go to bed and meditate on what it means for us. And right now, let's meditate on where we are in the sight of God. It may be that somebody tonight has been thinking about their soul, and they know that they're not ready to meet God. There are sins upon their account. And if you're ready tonight to confess your faith in Jesus, to turn away from sin by repenting of it, and to put on Christ in the act of baptism, you can leave this place tonight knowing I am a child of God and my future is bright. I will not forget the work that God has done in me tonight. We'd love to help you.
If you're watching or listening and would like to make that decision, let us know. We'll wait for you. We'll try our best to work it out so that you can obey the gospel. And if as a Christian you have wandered away and you've been caught up with the world more than with God, it's time to come home. Past time. Repent of your sins. Pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. How can we help? Let us know as we stand together and sing. Will you stand?
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved, O tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
Please be seated. If there's anyone who doesn't have a communion set, just get our attention. I think Tim could bring them around, flash your lights, honk your horn. But as we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing the first and fourth verses of When My Love to Christ Grows Weak.
When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There behold his agony, suffered on the bitter tree. Learn his anguish, see his faith, love triumphant still in death.
Have we missed anyone that needs a communion kit? All right. If you'd like to follow along where I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to look at some specific verses. I'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 looking specifically at verses 23 through 26. First Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. Listen for the verbs, the action words, immersed in the scriptures. I'll be reading from the King James Version. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This as do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you shall show the Lord's death until he shall come. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We thank you for this memorial feast, a reminder of the love and the sacrifice that you have for us. As we eat of this bread, a simple combination of earthly elements with eternal implications. Bread that represents your Son's body, crucified, given with love to take on all the sins of mankind. Father, we thank you for your Son's perfect sacrifice, and may we eat of it in a manner that is worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you bow again, please? Likewise, Father, help us to remember and not take for granted the significance of the blood that was shed for us on the cross. In your infinite wisdom, we needed to be reminded of this great sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice ever. Lord, take us back to the cross as we drink of the cup, the fruit of the vine, and help us to remember. In your Son's name, amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. If you are a mind to contribute in person, there is a basket up here for you, and I'm sure you're aware of the other means that you can contribute, of how the Lord has blessed you financially to the work of the church. Would you bow with me? Lord, we recognize you as the creator and the architect of the universe. Everything, from the tiniest atom to the largest thing we can think of, has your signature on it and in it. Thank you for the immeasurable blessings that you have granted us with as individuals and as a body of your church. Father, guide and direct those who decide about our financial matters that touch lives here and also all over the world. Help us not only to be cheerful givers of our financial means, but, Father, help us to be champion stewards of everything that you have blessed us with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go again to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the sunshine that we've got to experience. Thank you for the cool breeze. Thank you for the shade. Father, thank you for the sounds of nature that we're surrounded by right now. Father, we know that none of this would have been possible without you. And Father, it's so easy sometimes to forget why we're here. We get stuck in the mundane. We get stuck in a rut. But Father, we pray that as we leave this place, that we will remember why we're here. That we will leave here with a passion to do your will, a passion to impact those around us, a passion to make a difference in this community. And Father, may we never forget all the good that you do for us. And as we remember, help us to carry that out into our workplaces, into our schools. Help us to be the kind of students that we need to be, the kind of parents, the kind of grandparents, aunts, uncles. And Father, help us to teach one another and help us to teach those around us. Father, be with us always, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. The only announcement that I have is there's just a few more. There's only three smile boxes that I see. So please. Okay, there's 40. You don't have to stampede to get these boxes. But there are three up there, or down here, there's 40 up there. But share them around, but make sure you grab a couple too before you leave. And other than that, we are dismissed. Have a great week. See you Wednesday.